following program is pre-recorded. Welcome back to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, you shared about the origin of the first Thanksgiving as we are in this season now, and I had a little raised eyebrow there because I am, as you know, a native Virginian, and there's always been this contention about where the first Thanksgiving was. I've got just a quick blurb here. It says the first Thanksgiving has always been credited to the pilgrims at Plymouth Rock, as you said, in Massachusetts. But the first recorded Thanksgiving actually occurred 3 years earlier, 600 miles south in Virginia, Berkeley Plantation, on September 16th, 1619. The good ship Margaret, which was only 35 feet long and weighed 47 tons, set sail from Bristol, England. Imagine that long journey with a 35-foot-long boat.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And settlers, 35 settlers commissioned to 8,000 acres 30 miles west of Jamestown on the James River. So that was always a thing growing up that I knew, and you know, school field trips.
So you had a bone to pick with me, and it was it a turkey bone?
It's the wishbone, the best one, yeah.
Oh, the wishbone. I love wishbone.
So whenever it was, it did start, and we're grateful for it.
You know, many people assume, okay, the first Thanksgiving, then there'd be all these pies and sweets, but they had kind of run out of the sugar, and so it's not what most people think of as the diet, if you will, that's delicious at Thanksgiving. This is where many of the dishes were, they think, were truly using Native American spices and cooking methods, because the pilgrims had no oven. And again, the sugar supply had dwindled. And so the meal did not feature the sweet delicacies that we've become accustomed to. I think it's interesting to just know that the pilgrims held their second Thanksgiving celebration, supposed to be in 1623, to mark the end of a long drought that had threatened the harvest that year. And it prompted the governor, Governor Bradford, to call for a religious fast, days of fasting and thanksgiving on an annual basis or occasional basis, became common practice in other New England settlements. And then during the American Revolution, the Continental Congress, now we're getting to the founding of our United States, officially, the Continental Congress designated one or more days of Thanksgiving a year. And in the year 1789, George Washington issued the first Thanksgiving proclamation by the national government of the United States. And he called upon Americans to express their gratitude for the happy conclusion of the country's war for independence and the successful ratification of the Constitution. In fact, his successors, John Adams, James Madison, other presidents, also designated days of Thanksgiving during their presidency. And then in 1817, New York became the first of several states to officially adopt an annual Thanksgiving holiday. Now, they each celebrated Thanksgiving on a different day. This is interesting, in 1827, there was a gifted magazine editor, a prolific writer named Sarah Hale. She was an author, and catch this, she was also the author of the nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb. So, continuing on, she launched a campaign to establish Thanksgiving as a national holiday, and for 36 years, she published editorial after editorial, sent scores of letters to governors and senators and presidents and other politicians, and that earned her the nickname of Mother of Thanksgiving. She became the Mother of Thanksgiving. Ultimately, Abraham Lincoln finally heeded her request in 1863 at the height of the Civil War. And in this proclamation, he called upon all Americans to ask God to commend to his tender care all those who had become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers, I'm quoting the exact words, in the lamentable civil strife, and to, quote, heal the wounds of the nation. He scheduled Thanksgiving for the final Thursday of November, and it was celebrated on that day every year until 1939, when Franklin Roosevelt, he moved the holiday up a week to spur on retail sales during the Great Depression. Well, there was a backlash to that, and it got pushed back to the original time when Abraham Lincoln had proclaimed it, and in 1941, the president reluctantly signed a bill making Thanksgiving the fourth Thursday in November. So those are facts. Most of all, let's thank God for what he has taught us, what he has allowed us to gain by compassion and understanding, and to thank him for the good that he has brought in our lives.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get to our caller in a moment. If you have questions or concerns about the topics tonight, you can call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE. And they're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. We would be happy to provide you with some resources that will help you in your situation. We are recommending tonight the Keys for Living called Anger, Facing the Fire Within. And you can order those resources directly from them at customer support at 800-488-4673. You may also email email them at customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Ask any questions you have regarding topics and resources discussed in tonight's program, and they'd be happy to help you get the right materials into your hands as you read them for yourself and maybe pass them along to someone else who could be helped as well. Their email address, again, customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Well, as we get into the holidays, we know that there are millions suffering with more stress and anxiety, loneliness, depression, and that's just happens in this time of year. Well, we have a little bit of an answer to that when as things get busier like this, and we just need an opportunity to stop and consider what there is in this world of hope and what we have positive in our life. And we have on Hope in the Night, we will help people find answers and critical next steps for their specific struggles. Give us a call at 800-NIGHT-17 so you can talk with June about those situations in your life where you need some help and some focus. Also, we ask that you would help us mark this 26th year to make a gift to our late night ministry as you think about helping others and sending out materials. We send out materials to each caller every night, and we would appreciate your help in doing that. Just go to hopefortheheart.org. That's hopefortheheart.org. Let's get to our call now. Returning to us tonight, we have Hannah.
Well, welcome back, my friend. So glad we're able to talk again.
Hi. Yes, I'm glad you unthawed.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yes, I did need to unthaw. I don't think I've ever been this cold in my life. I just didn't realize you could get so cold in your own house, when you have no heat. And that's amazing how cold you can get. And so thank you. There are a lot of people, though, who need much prayer because they're in desperate straits. And so thank you for your thoughtfulness. So how we talked very recently ago about you, and you have two sons, and you all live pretty far apart. I think you said you were 68, and a particular son who seems to have a lot of anger is 45, and you so want a reconciled relationship with him. You are willing to think about how do I approach, what do I do, and. And then you did describe situations where you were a single mom, the birth father, he abandoned you all, and you, for 12 years, never apart?
No, never apart.
Yeah. And for 12 years, you had a great relationship with this son in particular. And then things changed when, you felt, it basically, what I thought I was hearing, and now you tell me if I'm misunderstanding, I thought you were indicating that in retrospect, you might consider that you were too harsh as in discipline as a single mom wanting to do what was right, but if he was just going to arrive, substantially late, then it's like, no, you just can't come in home, and he would need to find another place. And you told a couple of instances. One time he comes in at 3 a.m. Well, you have to get out, and you described certain things. I'm not confident that you knew exactly how to talk with him about, what I call boundaries, and then there are ways to help somebody think through what to do. And with I don't know, it just sounded, I'm not confident that you had the right support to help you in this situation, but I love your heart of seeking for the right reason a reconciled relationship. And well, so I wanted to say that to you.
my son and I, I can say that we're reconciled to a degree. He doesn't talk about our past. I related to you that one Mother's Day, I left him a very heartfelt repentance appeal to him,
mm-hmm.
and asked him to forgive me. I did the best I could, and I loved him, and he's never addressed that. He said he did get it, but we never talked about it. He doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a crippled reconciliation. I can only go so far sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Other times he's willing to talk for hours on subjects that I would say are very surface, but he doesn't mm-hmm. want to talk about religion. He'll listen, but he really doesn't want to deal with that at all. My faith, he thinks I'm kind of a fanatic. But there was an incident that happened since I last spoke with you. I experienced some elder abuse, some fraud, adding up to about, we're estimating $1,500. And I called my son. And he was very instrumental in guiding me. And when I didn't do something he wanted me to do to protect myself, he did get angry, but it was a mm-hmm. different type of anger, and it wasn't explosive. Like, he just, Ma, why'd you do it? You should have done this. But it wasn't that anger. It was more out of love, like, oh, I'm not there to protect you. So I noticed that, and I was glad of that. But
yes. Wow. And in regard to the elder abuse, have you reported it, or what has been your course of action, or what is your thinking on it?
I did report it. I was terribly hurt. I've known this person for over a number of years. And I thought that they would never do this. I invited them into my home to be a service and a help to them. And it turned ugly, very ugly in the end. Mm. And I just wanted to let bygones be bygones. But it seems like they are very malicious in that they have plotted to hurt me months before everything came to a head. I'm getting the repercussions now. Every day I'm looking for something else that has come to fruition. Like, oh my God, no, not this. I mean,
what actually happened? Okay, you're trying to help someone, and so then.
Yeah.
Did you bring them literally into your home so that they were living there for a little bit? Okay. And then what happened?
We had an argument, and after that argument, everything changed. They wouldn't speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell into the same rhythm, and then I thought, no, I'm not going to do this. So I tried to reconcile a couple of times, but they weren't receptive. So I said, okay, let bygones be bygones. Just have peace. And that's how I can have peace, is going their way, then I will do it. However,
and so did the person was still in the house or
correct.
Not? Oh, okay, was still in the house. Okay.
And that's when they started their plan. After that argument, they started the plan of being malicious. And there's evidence of things that took place months before it came to a head. They had to put it in place. So it was one of those, like they say, steal. They stole items. Okay. Yeah, can replace items. But it's really a killing of my spirit in a way, because I was just so hurt.
I'm so sorry.
And then trying to destroy me financially by stealing, by the fraud, and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, okay. So then fraud was involved. Obviously, this is deeper than just somebody taking an item or stealing an item. And where is this person now? I'm assuming out of your home?
Correct.
Okay. And what is your thought regarding, or even questions? Do you have questions about what to do?
Well, in relating to my son about the issue, him not being a Christian, he gave me some very clear advice, and I really appreciated it, you know, and he was very calm, very loving, very caring.
What did he say?
He was just telling me how to deal with my relatives that weren't there to support me, since he's in Vegas, I'm in Detroit. And he just told me, well, you know, everybody has their limitations, and this is how you deal with them. And you accept what they can give you, and that they can't, you go on. And I thought that was very, very logical and clear and thoughtful on his part. We talked about that, but when it came to the part of the scripture about going to court, Christians going to court, I don't think he can receive that. That does not make sense. Not at all.
Well, the scripture you're talking about is not taking a fellow believer to court. And
yes,
so I thought you were saying that this person was not a true, authentic believer. Did I misunderstand?
No, I thought they were.
Okay, we'll talk about that.
Unprecedented times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, loneliness, and depression. In the still of the night, when things slow down, these feelings can be the strongest. This is when June Hunt shares God's truth through this late-night radio ministry, Hope in the Night. She helps people find answers and critical next steps for their struggles. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart. And make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. We are a ministry of Hope for the Heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. Hope for the Heart celebrating 35 years of ministry. And we exist, by the way, because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of this ministry. We thank you. If you have questions about tonight's topic or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living that will help you address your situation. Call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central, and they can help you access the resources you need. We have the keys for living called Forgiveness. Releasing you is freeing me. And if you'd like to get that resource in your hands, just call us. Again, the number is 800-488-HOPE, 800-488-4673. Also, check out our website, hopefortheheart.org/store. There you can find new updated Keys for Living, Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's many biblical resources. We have her books and also music CDs. You'll find it all there at hopefortheheart.org/store. Thanks for going there and spending some time there. Let's get to back to our caller now, Hannah.
Hannah, you mentioned specifically elder abuse. And, you know, there are many people who really, they've not gone there. That's not been their experience or their exposure. But elder abuse is any intentional or negligent act that causes harm or a loss to an older person. And most cases of elder abuse go undetected and therefore unreported. And that leaves those who are elderly feeling devalued or demoralized or dejected. And abuse, the reason at times it's helpful to learn about what your options are is there are people who repeatedly have schemes, who have that's their methodology, is assuming that they can benefit by virtue of the vulnerability of those who are elderly. And and I'm saying this because there is something. Have you even talked with anyone from, it's called APS, Adult Protective Services? Do you know about
them? Yes, good. I've already called them, but they haven't gotten back with me.
Okay. There's another name, and it's called Elder Care Locator. Elder Care Locator. And by the way, there's even the National Center on Elder Abuse that helps, helps organizations or... It gives information to ensure that adults who even with disabilities, that they can live with dignity and obviously without being abused and or neglected or exploited. And I do believe it's important that you have the support you need. And I'm remembering, I believe, that you are sight impaired. Are you not sight impaired? Okay, so and that puts you in a more vulnerable position. And so I'm so sorry, but you know it doesn't hurt for you to get wisdom, pray for knowledge. In fact. I'll tell you what's going on right now in regard to your son, and you can compliment him on this, and that in Proverbs 31, verse 8, the Bible says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. And he is trying to speak up for you, to try to help give wisdom to you. And there are so many positive things you could compliment him for. This can be actually a bridge builder for between you and your son. And I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know, because I can tell you see how he is responding, being far more protective of you than just being appearing uncaring.
Yes. My thing is, I'm trying to really represent Christ better than I did when he was younger, when mm-hmm. I was so knowing how to handle difficult situations and raising him, that I did not exemplify Christ well enough to him, and this is why he has this aversion mm-hmm. to Christ. So I'm trying to help him get over that hurdle.
Yes. Now, this is not the son, is it, who has a child? Or does he have a child?
Yes.
He does.
He's my old.
Okay, and what is the age of his child?
She will be 20 next month.
Okay. So you're saying you have a grandson who's 20?
I have a granddaughter.
Granddaughter. Okay. Okay, so the son we're talking about, where there's been this fracture, so he is about what age?
45.
Okay. And I'm just thinking about something. I'm gonna say it this way. If you had it to do over again, I think I already know your answer, would you have found another way that you think would be wiser to have disciplined your son?
Of course.
Yep, I knew you were going to say that. Now, years ago I was a youth director, and many, many parents, they did not know what to do. And I had a great relationship with the parents and the leaders and the kids. Later, I wrote the book that I needed when I was a youth director. And I called it Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries. And the reason I'm saying this is I'm wondering if I were to send that to you and for you just to read just the very first part, I think it would be something you could, if you wanted to, you could say, you know, I was talking with someone who wrote a book, and one of the things that I read the very first part of her book, and I've seen some things, oh, how I wish I had known to do those things. And you could be very specific. That way he is, he is hearing that you are caring enough to, it's like trying to repair the relationship by saying, oh, I wish I had done this. I didn't know. But it would give you specifics. Would you like for me to send that to you as a gift?
Well, no. You're sending me some material already as a gift, and I appreciate that because I have to have it in audio.
Yes, and I have this in audio if you would like it. But that might not.
I don't want to overburden the ministry by getting free gifts, is what I'm saying. I could go ahead and purchase it.
I would rather give it to you as a gift. And
okay.
Because and you're so thoughtful. I don't want to mention something and then make you feel like, well, I need to buy something. In other words, what I love about you is, it's like you're not just blaming. You say, I if I could have, I would have. But this is all of us, every one of us. If we could have, we would have done it differently. But we don't know what we don't know.
This is true. And no, I wasn't feeling it that way. I supported your ministry in the past.
That's very kind. Very kind. Well, what I'm thinking is this would give you another bridge just to talk about. And it can be helpful. Like, for example, one of the things that I thought we might touch on is I'm going to ask you a question about specifically what is this son's language of love? The language of love. And that means if I am speaking English and someone else is speaking Russian, all I know is I know nyet, and I know da, and it's been too long since I've been in Russia, but I can't speak Russian, and I can't understand Russian. And if there are times when the most advantageous thing to do is to learn to speak another person's language of love, and for example, if somebody brings food, well, it would be nice if that happens to be the kind of food that they really like, not what they don't care for. But we all understand that. But the concept here is there are certain things that really make a difference if you know the person's language of love, and that is, and we give you five T's, time, giving quality time, talk, that would be like words of affirmation, verbal compliments, encouragement, appreciation, words spoken kindly, you know, the tasks. I have a male friend, my best male buddy, my best friend, male friend, is his thing is tasks. He loves to do things that are meaningful to others, acts of service. And this is just his forte. What does a person need? And therefore, to do something that he might need is huge to him. Tokens. Some people love, and a token doesn't mean an expensive gift. It's just receiving. It could be a gift that expresses affection. It's discerning the kind of gifts that are most desired. Like, I'm typically not a flower person. But I know people who are. They love flowers. But what kind of gift? And then the last is touch. So, and that doesn't, we're not talking about sexual. We're talking about, it can be playful. It can be back rubs, holding hands.
My son's a talker.
A talker.
I'm familiar with the five.
Yes.
And love.
Okay, good. Let's come back and talk.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. Our customer support team can be reached at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they'll help guide you to God's hope through our resources. We have keys for living called Forgiveness. Releasing you is freeing me. You may also be interested in the book called Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries. Those resources and many others available as you get in touch with customer support at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. They'd love to hear from you. Well, if you would like to speak with June about something that's happening in your life, a situation going on, and to speak with her on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, just get in touch with us at 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. When you call, leave a detailed message, and we'll get back to you and schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17. By the way, if you have been on Hope in the Night before and you'd like to update us, we'd love to hear from you and just hear how God is working in your situation and what help you received on this program. So give us a call. It's the same number, 800-NIGHT-17 or 800-644-4817. Let's return to our conversation now with Hannah.
Well, my friend, I think it's wonderful that you are very clear as to what is your son's language of love, because once we understand that relationships, not accomplishments, but relationships have the deepest meaning in life, then our primary goal in communicating with others becomes, how can I meet the love needs of another? How can I meet the emotional needs in terms of being a representative of the Lord? And when we know the specific language, as you've just said, it's for your son, it's talking, it's complimenting, it's building him up, it's affirming him, and saying certain words that are phrases that are meaningful, like, you know, son, your relationship to me is very, very important, and the way that how I appreciate that you've been trying to help me think about what I need to do. And those words go all the way with, I love you. Will you please forgive me? Being, you know, but being specific. And so I think, yes, go on.
I'm sorry. But he never responded. It's almost 20 years through that Mother's Day plead and told him that I loved him and please forgive me.
Yeah.
When it comes to certain areas, if it's a general, like I said, a surface area, like you like to talk about history and other stuff, the animal planet, oh, he can go on for hours. But when it gets to the real heart of the issue, I'll give you an example. I came down with cancer in 2000. He was only in his early 20s. He was so afraid that he abandoned me and his brother. He will never talk about that. He doesn't. No, he doesn't. He'll say, I didn't do that. No, I didn't do that. Mom, please, you're missing. So those really serious matters, he will not talk about.
Well, you're building right now a bridge that's important because, there's a reason why. I don't think he, some people don't know how to. By the way, males actually statistically, I've seen the statistic several times, but I don't have it in my head. But actually, males have much more difficulty. Anytime you talk about a percentage or people or you say a generality, about 20% will not fit that category. So I'd say that, but 80% of males, they can talk more about activities or things, but not nearly as dealing with relationships, not building on relationships. And that's why there's a complement of male and female. Females can help bring out what is not the norm for males, but is absolutely valuable because we all have emotions. And if they're not being expressed in a healthy way, they can become unhealthy. And you already know that he has had some anger issues. And
yeah.
So it's how do you turn that, and this is what you're going to be receiving from us soon on the topic, and it will give you some very interesting help because I sent you our audio versions, two, one for you, one for your son, if you feel it's appropriate, and after you look at it and you determine, okay, I'll see about that, if this is going to be helpful. And a lot of times people, they don't know what to do with when they know they're out of control, they know they've continued to either get people upset, and a lot of times they'll just blame others, but if they're really saying, well, I'm noticing this pattern, I keep having these anger problems. Most people don't want to continue that way. Now, it can be a control factor, and anger can be a powerful motivation to get one's way. Because if you use anger, like that has worked on me to manipulate me to do things that I didn't want to do, and yet out of weakness, I can remember times I would give in and give somebody their way, and yet I didn't feel good about, I knew I was being manipulated by anger. But that deals with what happened in my own childhood. I was very fearful of my dad, and there were reasons why, and so at times we have situations that we have to literally mature with the Lord's help and his strength. So I do believe that with right now, he is responding out of care for you, and what, you know, you affirming him is going to be water like on parched ground.
Okay.
So I think, you know, think of any, what do you think? In fact, you know, it could be that as you think of how he is helping you, at times you could say, you know, son, I'm learning some things that how I wish I, just as you have been helpful to me, I wish I had known how to be helpful to you when you were under my roof. And that's my heart, because I care about you and I will always love you. And the reason I've needed to ask forgiveness is because you mean that much to me, that I don't want to just say, well, that was a long time ago. Well, it doesn't matter. It was, at times I did things that were harmful, but I did, yeah. Even though I didn't know, I must express this to you, and because it's right for me to do that. And so, you know, it's, yes, he may not go there, but your words are going to go there, and he'll think of the things. And so I think as much as you can say, I need to share, because I want to be accountable before God, and I see that I was wrong. And I, you know, regardless of why I did certain things, I need, the Bible says that if somebody has something against you, you forget about giving a gift, you go take, go to that person and be reconciled. And in other words, relationships to Jesus are very, very important, more than just giving gifts. Do you agree with that?
Yes, my son is, I believe, in the parched ground because of the scripture that says have a heart of stone. Mm. That's my son right now. Mm-hmm. His heart is very, very hard. Mm-hmm. And other times, you know, he's just so, he's magnanimous. People gravitate to him. He's very articulate, and he can express his thoughts so well. And people take notice of him. But I know there's that underlying anger, and I know that's the hurt. And mm-hmm. I don't care how old he gets. I mean, I don't want him to die with this.
No.
I want him to be healed so he can deal with my granddaughter who is wounded. And I don't want that to continue. And I don't want that. So all that I can do, I'm willing to do.
Okay.
I was at home, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So it sounds like the Lord is providing opportunities right now, where he has a softened heart toward you because of the elder abuse that you've experienced.
Yeah.
And that, you know, God can use all kinds of things like that. So what I'm convinced of is when you said that you've asked forgiveness, I'm just going to go on, and as long as I'm sending you something, I'm going to send you something else. And I know that you're not trying to take advantage or in any way, but it's you're important. And so what I will also give you is on forgiveness, because there might be something there that gives you wording that would really touch his heart. And there are times when all of our hearts need to be touched. You know, for years I didn't have tears because my dad said tears were a sign of mental illness. And I was emotionally shut down. And I've been aware that I've had to, you know, to heal in those areas. Well, that's true of your son. He needs that encouragement to heal, and that's your heart. And so I'm just going to ask our listening audience to pray for you and your son, that you can continue to express the love of Christ you have to his home.
We will send resources to tonight's caller. We have The Keys for Living called Forgiveness. Releasing You is Freeing Me. Also, Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries. We'll send those along free of charge. We can do that because of your generous support of this ministry. If you'd like to give to keep Hope in the Night on the air, you may do so at hopefortheheart.org/donate. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. And our materials and recent programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also find past programs wherever you find your podcasts. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope. The preceding program was pre-recorded.